Carry on with reading 1 Corinthians 2. But Paul went on further to talk about what it means to have faith in the Lord Jesus. And this is important because as we look at how the faith is, he was very, very concerned that the faith that they have as they find it in the Lord Jesus must be found not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So he wrote further, I was with you in weakness, in fear, in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Now, we have here Paul's awareness of how different people saw him. And this is what we are looking at, right? There were detractors. And they, of course, questioned his apostolic status. They did not think highly of him. They put him down. Now, those are his detractors. But there were those who were his defenders. They loved him for being the spiritual father that he had been to all of them. And they loved him for what he stood for his ministry, for all that he believed in. Now, this is where Paul looked at himself, the ministry, and openly, honestly, he wrote, he says, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. We call this a self-deprecatory approach. In other words, Paul was very conscious. He was not coming as a high-flying apostle. He was not coming in as an apostle who can perform many signs and wonders. He was not coming in as the great founder of churches. He was coming in his human weakness. And in human weakness, he has experienced sorrow, he has experienced physical beating, he has been to jail, he has been harassed, people have laughed at him, and all these things, being a human being, would somehow affect him. And he was very conscious that he may appear weak to people. He may appear as if he was speaking with fear. And it is even possible that he was speaking with some trembling. Well, we don't have a physical description of all that he experienced, but we have this picture of Paul himself, right? But what Paul was basically saying is that he does not want to have a false put on image. Well, they're going to see Paul for who he is, what he is. Were there times when he was in weakness? Yes, you can understand. Was he sick at times? Yes. Was he in fear that he might be attacked? Yes. Were there times when he was literally physical trembling? It could be. It could be illness. It could be a physical difficulty. It could be just simply a sense of dread. These things just show us how human Paul really was. He does not want to simply brush them aside and pretend that he is all the time 100% courageous, absolutely fearless, and he's going to take on the world all by himself. Now, this is very important, right? So, however, we must not take this text to suggest that Paul was a weakling or that he was cowardly. Right? Or that he was therefore unsuited for ministry. This is not what he means. What? False people who were detractors, will pounce on these things and say, well, Paul said so himself. But the question is, what does it really, really mean? So when you look at what Paul had just gone through, Thessalonica, he had to rush away from the place. Coming over to Athens, no rest in his spirit because he didn't know what happened to the Thessalonians. He wasn't sure whether they were saved or they were not. He was in concern, great concern for their well-being. And so his heart was and spirit was not at rest what he thought about them. And he was concerned about the present ministry in Athens and then further. So you can understand the Paul's physical, mental, emotional state can be very, very greatly challenged at this point of time, right? So when you have been persecuted, when you've been rejected by some, when you're physically worn out, So you see a person being described here. This is a human being who has received some very traumatic experiences recently. And is it wrong to write like that? Absolutely not. Paul is just being candid, is being honest, is just being who he was, openly honest with all the people, right? So what Paul was really saying is that I'm going to minister as I am, right? If people perceive him as weak and fearful, he was still serving. If people were trying to find fault with him, you know, he is not going to put up a false bravado. He's not going to adopt a style just to impress people. He will not minister in that false manner because it would be so wrong. He would minister as he has always ministered, conscious of his own weaknesses, but drawing strength from the grace of God. That is how Paul ministered. And it has always been a part of Paul's reality. So we therefore look at how Paul used his words. At the end of it all, teaching is about words. It's about ability to communicate effectively. So Paul said, this is how I speak. My speech, my preaching, I do not try to find persuasive words of human wisdom. I am not going to quote some philosopher. I'm not going to quote some historian. I'm not going to quote some famous people. I'm not going to tell you I know so many people. He's not going to name drop either. He's not going to do none of these things, basically. Right? Because that's what human wisdom says. You know what? If you want to be effective, you must quote a philosopher. You must quote a famous theologian. You must quote a famous scholar. You must show that you know this person, that person. You must name drop a little. You must bring in a little humor. You must entertain people a little bit. And then you become effective. Paul refused to do any of those things. He said, you know what I'm going to do? I am just going to preach, as it were, believing in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. That's it. Right? He is not going to depend upon human eloquence to become effective. He is not going to become like the orators and philosophers he met at Athens. He's not going to use human logic, human wisdom to get things done. He's not going to contrive ways and means just to persuade people. And there are tons of books that were there written how to persuade people, how to speak effectively, and they're all methodology. And they will tell you that this is how to get across. Paul absolutely refused. So what do you mean by a demonstration of the Spirit of God? Well, this is Paul's understanding. This is Paul's theology. This is his heart, this is his faith. He said, I must, he obviously remembers what the Lord Jesus said to all the apostles, right? They are to bear witness for him. That's it. How? When? When the Spirit of God has come upon you, you shall be witnesses to me. This is Acts 1:8. And Paul was very conscious of the role of the Holy Spirit in his life, in his ministry. And in his writings, you will find that Paul wrote about the Holy Spirit, particularly Romans chapter 8. Right? So the Holy Spirit was deeply involved. He believed that the Spirit of God will lead Paul and teach him what to say and what not to say. He believed that the Spirit's involvement was absolutely going to be clearly demonstrated. The Spirit of God is going to touch hearts. He's going to convict lives. He's going to point out sin. He's going to cause people to be drawn to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This was what he wanted to do, to have a total great dependence upon the person and ministry of the Holy Spirit in his teaching and his preaching. And along the way, right, he will experience the reality of the power of God there. So the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit are related. So in demonstration of the Spirit and of power is very much an Acts 1:8 relationship. There is a Holy Spirit's involvement. He will descend upon the disciples, the apostles, and then they will go out there filled with power, with dunamis, and they're going to be able to speak effectively. And it is essentially the work of the Holy Spirit. So what Paul was doing is exactly what all the other apostles are doing. And this is something that Paul was deeply committed to doing. He wanted to find that power of God. And that power is related definitely, deeply to the person of the Holy Spirit. And this was what Paul sought. And so he explains his ministry. Well, say, you know, your words seem to be very simple. Your words seem to be not very eloquent. You know, you didn't cite any famous people at all. And Paul said, no, my focus is the Holy Spirit. My focus is the power that he gives. He will give the words of understanding. He will give the words to say. And Paul depended upon the Holy Spirit, basically. But why would Paul do that? And he was very, very well aware of the fact that there were people whose faith was basically based upon the wisdom of men. So they have a very nice sounding faith. They are able to quote this person, that person, the other person. They can even quote Bible verses here and there. Right? But the danger is to end up with a faith that looks real, but is not. Anything that does not have the Spirit's involvement, anything that does not have the real power of the Holy Spirit at work in the heart of a person, that faith is a danger of a faith that comes from the wisdom of men. And this is very, very real. What does Paul really want? He tells the people, we have the same spirit of faith. He will write about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13 later on. But he was going to tell them right at the beginning, the faith that they have, the faith that he wants to share with them, the faith that he wants them to discover and develop, it is a faith that must be genuine. To possess a genuine faith is the real concern. Right? And what is this real faith that we're talking about? This faith is one that will experience the reality of the power of God. It's not a conviction of the mind. It's not just simply saying nice words. It's not quoting somebody or other. It's to see how the heart can be cleansed from sin. It's to see how a life that is sinful can be changed into one that is godly. It is to be challenged to build up a life of faith that is one that is critically strong in the Lord. This was Paul's focus right from the beginning. And this is something that he was determined that he would do. And he would keep very, very close to this very focus. Right? So how is this related to the preaching of the cross? Exactly the point. Because Lord Jesus himself has said that the Spirit of God will not speak of himself. He will speak of me, referring to himself, the Lord Jesus. And so when Paul preached the cross of Christ, and he calls this the mystery of God, he was not wrong. He was right on the spot there. And there we go. What is the Spirit of God going to do? He's going to help people to understand the significance of the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross. And the mystery of God will then begin to be understood. People will recognize the grace of God. They will understand the love of God. They will experience the power of God. They will be drawn to the kingdom of God that he has and desire to be born again. All of these things are all that the Lord Jesus himself had taught. These are the things, the experiences that the disciples had, including Paul. And when you put them all together, Paul was very convinced that this is the gospel that he must be committed to preaching and teaching. The message itself will actually affect the methodology rather than the methodology affecting everything else. So what was his methodology? Present the gospel centered in the Lord Jesus Christ. Present the gospel trusting in the work of the Holy Spirit alongside. Because the Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus tells us, will be witness to us as well. And he will work alongside. He will empower. He will enable. He will convict hearts and lives. And that is how our faith is going to be founded. Our faith will be founded upon the cross, upon the Lord Jesus, upon the power that brings salvation, a cross that will speak to us of our need to be cleansed from our sin, a message that will bring true salvation because it is based upon true faith and the justification that the Lord Jesus Christ can give to every believer that turns to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was Paul's commitment. And this must be our commitment too, that we present the gospel as Paul did, relying upon the Holy Spirit, depending upon the power of God at work. And this is the wisest and the best approach towards presenting the gospel to anybody. Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the example that Paul exemplified in his life. We thank you that he was faithful and true and fearless in his commitment. Teach us the same wisdom to be absolutely committed to the preaching of the cross of the Lord Jesus, and therein the mystery of God. Help us to depend upon what you have taught us concerning the power of the person of the Holy Spirit. Pray that he will truly work in and through us as we teach your word faithfully. Teach us how to do the same thing that Paul did. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.